talk about finding true north and living a life of value and purpose and meaning would be useless because without talking about how do we use time? How do we manage those things that are manageable to us? And that's what we're going to focus on today. Just as a little refresher for those of you that maybe haven't been with us during the past few weeks, is that what we're talking about is finding true north. That we have to find, true north. If we're in the woods and we do not want to become hopelessly lost, we need a compass and we need to find true north to be able to get our bearings, to be able to navigate through the woods, through the forest, successfully. Why do we think that would be any different with life? That it is essential that we not live our lives, get to the end of our lives, and recognize the fact that we have been wandering aimlessly for 60, 70, 80, whatever years God gives to us. How tragic that would be if we got to the end of our life and recognized that we had been wandering aimlessly all our lives. Better to get to the end of our lives and, like Jesus, to say, it is finished. It is complete. It is wonderful. That these lives that God has given to us have been filled with purpose and meaning and value. Because that's what God intends. On the front of your bulletin, God says in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." God has a plan for you and for me. And for us to walk through life and not discover that plan, not to understand that plan, not to live that plan, makes our lives tragic. And so the first principle that we looked at was the fact that you are responsible. You are able to respond to the circumstances of life in a way that can be beneficial for not only you, but for others around you. You are not a victim to life. God has created us able to respond, able to make choices, able to choose for God's glory as well as for the benefit of each one of us. Principle number one. Principle number two, we saw a few weeks ago, and that is the vision of our lives determine the value of our lives. The vision that we set forth in our lives determines the direction that we go, the steps that we take, and the goals that we set, and what we do and what we say today. In each area of our lives, what is the vision that I have for me as a Christian? What is the vision that I have in my mind of what it is to be a husband, a wife? What is the vision that I have for my children? What is the vision that I have for the friendship relationships that I have? What is the vision for each one of the areas in my life? Because the vision of my life determines the value of my life. Now today what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at how do you get to the end of your life and look back with pride, with satisfaction, and with joy. How do you do that? I want to just take a little poll. How many of you know that exercise is important for a healthy body? Oh, the majority. Barely. How many would say spending quality time with your spouse or your kids is important? Oh. How many of you know that reading your Bible and praying every day would be a good thing? How many of you know that maintaining a balance between work and play is important for a healthy life? Okay, do you get the point? You already know the right things to do. We already know the right things to do. How many of you know that? We know a lot of what we should be doing. We know that having a ministry is important in life. We know that spending quality time with husband, wife, children is important. We know that maintaining a healthy body is important. The problem we have is finding the time to do those things that are important. True or not? How many of us, I just can't find the time. Like it's lost somewhere and we're looking under the couch can't find the time to be able to do those things that we know are important. Charles Richter, he said, don't be fooled by the calendar. There are only as many days in the year as we make use of. That has a little bit of profundity to it, doesn't it? Don't be fooled by the calendar. There are only as many days in the year as we make use of. And then he goes on to say, one person gets a week's value out of a year, while another person gets a year's value out of a week. How to have the time of value in your life? That's the question for the day. And we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 16. And it happens to be the Phillips paraphrase that I want to elevate for a few moments. It says, live life with a due sense of responsibility, not as those who do not know the meaning of life, but as those who do. I want to linger here a moment. Live life with a due sense of responsibility, not as those who do not know the meaning of life, but as those who do. Now, I want you to keep in mind principle number two, that the vision of your life determines the value of your life. In other words, if you understand the vision of your life, that you were made by God and you were made for God, and you know that He has a purpose and a plan for your life, and you are made to relate to Him, you should live life with a due sense of responsibility, which is what the New Living Translation says about this verse. Live life with a due sense of responsibility. In other words, that elevates the first principle, and that is God is saying that you should live with a due sense of responsibility, that you are able to respond. You see that? In other words, you have the opportunity before you to live life with a due sense of responsibility and an ability to be able to respond to life in a way that will produce meaning and value for you and for others. The result of it will be that you make the best use of your time. Now, I want to look at this for a minute and dissect it, because it says some things that I don't want us to miss. The first is this, is that this says that I need to analyze my lifestyle. Each one of us need to take a close look at how we use our time and ask ourselves the question, how am I doing? Live your lives with a due sense of responsibility. Another version says, look carefully at how you walk. Live life with a due sense of responsibility. Live life looking carefully at how you walk. In other words, analyze your lifestyle. And am I investing myself in things that really matter in life, or am I attending to things that are merely urgent? Does what I invest my time, my life in, really matter? Will it matter in 15 years? Charles Adams, the son of President John Adams, a few years ago, in his diary, wrote this. He said, went fishing today, a day wasted. Went fishing with my son today, a day wasted. Got it? His son wrote in his diary, went fishing with my dad, the most wonderful day of my life. There's a dad who needs to analyze his lifestyle to say that an afternoon with his son was a waste of a day. We need to analyze our lifestyle over against the values that God says are most important. Proverbs says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but it leads to death. One of my favorite verses, because it's so true. Too often that's us. We think that we are handling things right, only to realize that one day that, wow, that was a time wasted. I spent too much time on things that aren't important. If you find yourself saying, I don't have time to pray, I don't have time to get into His Word, I don't have time to serve God, I don't have time to romance my spouse, I don't have time to be with my children, I don't have time to care for my mind, for my emotions, for my body. If you say any of those things, then something is wrong. Write that down, if you have trouble remembering it. If you say that any of those, that you don't have time for them, then something is wrong. God has given us the same amount of time, and he's established the priorities for what's important. So what is the problem, do you think? The problem is the priorities that I have set. Ephesians 5 gives us encouragement to analyze our lifestyle, to see if the important things are being attended to, the things that will be talked about at my funeral, if we want to put it in the context of a couple weeks ago, or if it's stuff that is just urgent and at the time seem important, but in 15 years, who will care? In 15 years, time with my spouse, that will matter. My children, when they're gone, that will matter. Time with my God, that will matter. So much else that we attend to won't. Analyze your lifestyle. That's what Ephesians 5 says. Secondly, what Ephesians 5 says, and I want to miss, is to utilize the present. In verse 16, it said, look carefully how you walk, not as wise men, but as wise, making the most of the time because the days are evil. That's what the New International Version says. In other words, take advantage of today because today is all we have. Back up to the scripture. We're staying with the scripture for a while. What we want to do is we want to, God encourages us to utilize the present. Yesterday, the past opportunity of yesterday is a broken dream. The dream of tomorrow's opportunity is a distant hope. Today is the time when we should seize opportunity. The writer of Ecclesiastes says, if you wait, I love this, if you wait for perfect conditions, you will never get anything done. Isn't that true? We're waiting for the perfect time, the perfect circumstance, that guess what? That perfect time and circumstance will never come. We won't get it done. Haven't you met people who are always gonna do something with their lives, who are always gonna do something with someone they love, but they never get around to it? Years ago, they sold little wooden tuits. And you know, I gave those out to people in my congregation so that they could get around to it. Do you get it? It had written on it, to it, and it's round, so you never get around to it. Well, I give you a, so that you can get around to it. Get it? And I would have done that today, but I couldn't find any. So imagine in your mind, I just gave you a round to it, so you can get around to it. Got it? God doesn't want us to lament over the brokenness of yesterday, and he doesn't want us constantly procrastinating about what, you know, could be tomorrow. He wants us to utilize the present. And let me give you some clues on how to utilize the present best, and that is to get rid of the clutter in your life. We need to get rid of the clutter in our lives. And the clutter really is physical clutter. There is stuff in our lives that get in the way of our living a full life. There's mental clutter that we have, items that we need to clear out of our lives because they don't enable us to think clearly. And there's spiritual clutter that gets in our lives where we are wounded or we're holding resentment, and we need to forgive, to get rid of that, to be clean so that we can utilize the present fully. And I've told you before that I've done a lot of funerals in my life, conducted a lot of memorial services in my life, and there are true prevailing emotions that always are present, almost universally. Two emotions, can you guess what those might be? The first is naturally sorrow, but the second often is regret. I wish that I would have said, I wish that I would have done. I wish that I would have. I wish that I would have. I wish that I would have. Do it today so you don't have to wish that you would have. It's important that the present is seized. That little song by the Muppets, Time in a Bottle, was part of my formative years. Maybe some of you haven't even heard it. But Jim Croce is the one who did that. And might you remember the year? 1973, I'll tell you. later that same year, you know, it's a wonderful song, simply put, you know, that the song talks about putting time in a bottle, and then when needed, it could be pulled out and utilized. Time for friends, time for fun, time for experiencing life. It's as if merely all we need to do is pull out a bottle someday and utilize the stored up time for what is really worthwhile. It's a great song, but it's a lousy philosophy. And Jim Croce climbed into a plane in September of that same year, deludedly thinking that he carried with him time in a bottle. The only problem was his bottle was empty. That which had not been done and said by then would never be done and said, because Jim Croce died in a plane accident. We need to utilize the present. Today is the day to be seized. It's interesting in the Bible is today is the day of your salvation. You know, God knows that today is important. Don't put off tomorrow what can be done today. Husbands, you need to tell your wives today that you love them. Wives, you need to tell your husbands today. Parents, you need to throw the ball with your kids today. Do that project that you have dreamed of doing today. Don't wait until tomorrow to utilize what God desires for us to do today. Ephesians 5 elevates that. What we need to do is we need to realize that there are three enemies that thwart us. Three barriers that prevent us from finding time for the most important thing. I call them the three undoers of life. And they are an unclear vision. They will undo life and make life meaningless if you don't have a vision. When I really haven't figured out what's important, how am I going to know what to do? I don't have a vision, and so therefore I wander aimlessly. An unclear vision is an undoer of life. Secondly, how about unrealistic expectations? We try and do too much, and therefore we don't have time for the important things because we crowd too much into our lives. And third is unsustained energy. In other words, a fancy way of saying we get tired because of the things that we are doing. And as a result, the important things in life often get left behind. The good news is that the Bible has some antidotes, particularly in the book of Proverbs, to these three barriers. And that's what we're going to look at today. Here's how to manage the manageables that the Bible lays out. And I want to keep it simple, so we're just going to look at three points that the Bible gives us. And the first is to line up your priorities. That's the first step that God would say to us that we need to do. We need to line up our priorities. If you want to find time for the important things in life, then you need to. This is taught over and over in the book of Proverbs. We have to decide what's important, clarify our values. We have choices to make in life. And I would suggest that if you need to, that you actually make a list of the priorities in life. The reason being is limited. We can't do it all. Our lives will either be shaped by our priorities or they'll be shaped by our pressures. We have a choice. Am I going to be shaped, and is my life going to take a direction that is dictated by my pressures or by my priorities? If you don't decide what's really important in your life, then guess what? Here's a clue. Other people will decide for you. They will pressure you into their mold. They have lots of ideas for your life, lots of plans for your life, lots of ways for you to spend your time, whether you're gifted at it or not, whether you want to or not, whether it's God's will for your life or not. You'll be pressured into doing it. You have to line up your priorities and make decisions based on those priorities. You have to ask yourself, what do I value? What does God want me to do with my time? And you decide what really matters. The Bible says that it's dumb to try and do everything. Proverbs 17 says, an intelligent person aims at wise action, but a fool starts off in many directions. When you start off in 1,500 directions and there's no cohesiveness to where you're headed in life, then you need to discover what's important. Selection is the name of the game. Now, some of you are trying to do the right thing. I know you are. I know you're trying to live for God. I know that you're trying to grow closer to Christ. I know that you're trying to be where God wants you to be. I know that you want to be the husband, wife, parent, child, friend that God wants you to be, but you still just don't get it all done. Is that you? What's the solution? It's lining up your priorities. Proverbs 16:9, we should make our plans counting on God to direct us. God planned, do you know that? He planned the earth and what he would do on each day. In fact, if you go to Genesis 1 and we were to do a Bible study of Genesis 1, the origin of the world is not so much what Genesis 1 is all about. In the beginning, God created, and then he gives us each one of the days. What we really have in Genesis 1 is the fact that God was a planner, and that this did not just happen haphazardly, but that God had a definite plan that he put into play to create this world of ours. That's the real import of Genesis 1, is number one, who created the earth, who created everything, and the fact that he had a plan. If you want to be godly, if you want to be Christ-like, then you have to learn to plan. God gave us the ability to plan. So we need to think through the direction of our lives, and I would suggest that you even write it out. Suggest that you write it down as you line up your priorities, put them down on paper. And you know what will help in lining up your priorities and living those out? It's called scheduling. An odd little word. And why would scheduling be important? Because nothing happens until you schedule it. Nothing. Again, if we rewind a couple weeks, you may say that spending time with God is important. You may say that spending time with your children is important. You may say that quality time with your spouse is important. You may say that exercise or anything else is important. But if you don't schedule it, what you say is being drowned out by the stain on your shirt. That your life is saying something way different than what you say is important. Because what you are doing doesn't match what you are saying. Scheduling is the solution, that you literally schedule in those things that are important. Line up your priorities. I can't be the pastor without doing that myself. You know that? And I did that this week, lining up my priorities. You know, I'm preaching about, you know, what are the important things in life. And my being pastor is an important thing in my life. But more importantly than my being a pastor is my being a husband, a father, and a grandfather. My wife, almost 9 days ago, flew to California to see our brand new grandson, our 10th. Wow, he just looks too young. I'll just say what you're all thinking. And because of past performance, you know, that I can't get away because, you know, I'm a pastor and this church is important, and I can't get away from that. And so she goes down there alone. But as the days come closer, I'm thinking, you know, I need to line up my priorities here and what's important. I want to be with my wife, with my grandchildren, my children. And so at the last minute, I wasn't invited. But I went. On Monday, I went, came back yesterday so that I could be here today with you and we could be together in worship and I could preach. But my children and my grandchildren are important. And, you know, when I get to the end of my life, I'm going to say, hey, you know, I really stuck with it and I never left the church. And wow, goody. My wife, she has all these experiences of richness and value and meaning, because that's where meaning and value is. So I did it. Follow my lead. It's one time, you know. And when I do something right, I want to talk about it, brag about it. You know, I want to put it on the front page of the paper because it didn't happen that often. Line up your priorities, the Bible says. Secondly, and we talked about this last week with parenting, lighten up your attitude. We just need to lighten up. Because the more that we lighten up, the less we're going to be stressed. Proverbs 12, verse 25 says this, it says, anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down. More people die from worry than they do from anything else. You know, worrying about this and being stressed about that. And as we're stressed and as we worry, everything else gets pushed to the side and we're just focusing on that which is causing us stress, which oftentimes is not the most important thing in life. The first rule in life is don't sweat the small stuff. The second one is it's all small stuff. From God's perspective, he says, don't sweat it. The bottom line is you need to trust in me and lighten up your problems. You know, some people say, well, you just don't know my problems. You just don't know. I can't lighten up because of my problems are so big. And I'd say that if you lighten up, your problems won't be so big. You know, that we need to stop worrying and making our problems so huge that it prevents us from being able to live lives of value and meaning and purpose. Proverbs 14, verse 30 says, a relaxed attitude lengthens a man's life, a woman's life. A relaxed attitude lengthens life. God says, lighten up. Trust me. Do what I'm calling you to do. Stop worrying. Thirdly, and most importantly, we need to look up to God. The only way that we're going to get done the important things in life is if we ask Jesus to help us. With man, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible. We need to come to God and say, Lord, we want to live lives of value. You make sense out of this senseless life that I might be in the midst of. And help me build a life of value and meaning. Proverbs chapter 10 is curious to me. Because it says, reverence for God adds hours to each day. That seem odd to you? Reverence for God adds hours to each day. Now, reverence means to take God seriously, to put God first. How many of you would like to have more hours in your day? All of us would. Well, there's the answer. Reverence for God adds hours to each day. The reason why we don't lighten up our attitude and then look to God is we take ourselves too seriously and we don't take God seriously enough. You think the solution to your problems is more time. If I just had more hours in each day, then I'd get it all done. And God said, no, 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 no. You don't need more time in your day. You need more time with me in your day. And you know why, as I've thought about this and prayed about this and struggled with this, why does it say reverence for God adds hours to each day? Is because when we are with God, then all of a sudden, we are grounded. We find true north. We attend to those things that are important. And when we don't, we're being motivated by ourselves. And we waste hours of the day. Reverence for God, putting God first, adds hours to each day. What about having the strength when we're worn out? One of the undoers of life. Proverbs 14 says, reverence for God gives a person deep strength. Not only adds hours to the day, by putting things into perspective, by putting the important where important needs to be, but it also gives strength in your life. Spending time with God is a secret of strength. You need to get alone with Him every day. Ask God for wisdom to make the right choices and to line up your priorities and to lighten up your attitude, but also you ask God to do the strength to have the strength to do things that really matter. And here's principle number three. One is, you are responsible. You're not a victim. Number two, the vision of your life determines the value of your life. The third is this, God has given you just enough time to do what He wants you to do. God put you on this earth to do a certain number of things, put me on this earth to do a certain number of things, and He wouldn't give us more things to do than He gives us time to be able to do it. Does that make sense? I've said before, God never asks us to do things without giving us the resource to be able to do it. That would be just cruel. He says, I want you to do this, but good luck. You're on your own. I'm not going to give you the time, the resources, or anything to be able to do it, but this is what will make me happy. That doesn't make sense. God asks us to do what He gives us the resources to be able to do. And he gives us just enough time to do what he wants us to do. God would not expect more of you and not give you the time and energy to do it. If you're not getting the important things done in your life, it means one of two things or two choices. One is you're not doing things in life that you should be doing, and you're doing some things that God never intended you to do, or you're doing them badly. And if you're, or you're doing them in the wrong way, you're not being efficient. Effective. If you, Ecclesiastes 8 says there's a right time and a right way to do everything, but we know so little. You may need to learn some management skills. You may need to get a book that helps you, manage your time wisely. God promises to bless you when you put him first in your life. Proverbs 3 says, trust in the Lord completely. In everything you do, put God first and he will direct you and crown your efforts with success. It's true with every sphere of our lives, including our times. God says, if you put me first with your time, I'll make the rest of your time stretch, go further, further than you thought possible, by putting the important things where they need to be and the less important where they ought to be. You say, I don't have time for daily quiet time. I don't have time to be with other Christians. I don't have time to study the Bible. I don't have time to be with my kids. Fill in the blank. I don't have time. God says, well, okay, you're on your own then in terms of time. See if you can make it stretch. On the other hand, if you say, God, because you are my God and because the most important thing is knowing you, then I'm going to put you first in my time and then watch what he does with everything else. He promises to bless it. Every day, you're exchanging your life for something. Put this into your perspective. Do you know that every day we're exchanging our lives for something? The Bible says, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Every day we're exchanging our lives for something. Your time is your life. My time is my life. And so some people are exchanging their life for television. Some people are exchanging their lives for talk radio. Some people are exchanging their lives for a little ball. Some people are exchanging their life for recognition that isn't going to last 5 years from now. On and on and on. Every time you're engaged in an activity, you need to ask yourself, is this worth giving my life for? Because I'm exchanging my life for this. If we want to find time for the important things in life, we need to give the best that we have to the highest that we know, and we need to do it now. Here's the tragedy. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 6, verse 21, the Living Bible says, some people have missed the most important thing in life. They do not know God. You miss this, you miss the whole point of life. Talk about eliminating the important from your life. Here's the deal. You were made for a relationship for God. I was made for a relationship with God. That's why we're on this earth. Contrary to what our atheist friends would say. We were made by God. We were made for God. We were made to have a relationship with God. If we don't embrace that and live it, then we're not living the life that it was planned for us, that was designed for us. God created us in his image so that we would have the capacity to get to know him and talk to him, relate to him, and love him. Cows can't do that. Chickens can't do that. Dogs can't do that. Human beings are the only ones that were made in God's image with the capacity to pray and hear God, to speak and comprehend him, to have a relationship with him. It all boils down to this. Who are you living for? What is true north in your life, in my life? And more importantly, who are we living for that directs our each and every day? Tell me the answer to that question, and I can tell you the level of stress in your life and the level of value in your life, meaning in your life. Tell me who you're living for. If you're living for yourself, then I'm going to bet that the stress level is high in your life. If you're living for your reputation or for recognition, then I'm going to bet that stress level is high in your life. If you're living for your retirement or for your bank account, then I can tell you that your stress level is high. What are you living for? These three points: line up your priorities, lighten up your attitude, look up to God. You can pray those three points for the rest of your life, that every day, Lord, I pray that you would line up my priorities. They so easily get out of whack, Lord. Lord, reveal to me and remind me each and every day what is the most important things that I need to be attending to. And Lord, enable me to lighten up my attitude, to trust you with everything and not to worry about it. And most of all, help me to look up to you each and every day of the year of my life. Help me to look up to you. It starts with a decision. We're able to respond, remember? We're able to choose. Who are we going to live for? And if we live for God, then what happens is priorities fall into place in a much easier fashion. So, as we've been doing the last few weeks, I want you to take a step today. Take a step. Is there an attitude that needs to be adopted? Is there a sin that needs to be confessed? Is there a truth that you need to believe today? Is there an example to follow? Is there a promise to embrace? What has God impressed on you in the past few moments? Do not lose that. Write that down and allow it to follow you and to transform you, not only this week, but for the rest of your life. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be together. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be together around your word, which is a light unto our path. I thank you, Lord, that we have this opportunity to be coached by you. And I would pray today, Lord, that we would take great steps in lining up our priorities, that we would be able to attend to the important things in life and not just those that are urgent and seem to be screaming the loudest. That we would attend to being a child of yours, that we would attend to being a responsible and loving and grace-filled family member. That we would be encouraging to those people that you have placed in our lives as friends. That, Lord, we would be responsible with this life, this precious life that you've given to us. And that we would live each day trusting you and allowing our stress level to diminish. And that we would constantly be looking up to you. I pray that for each one of us, Lord. More than anything, that we'd be looking up to you, that we would allow you to guide our lives. So at the end, we would have lives that we look back on and see meaning and value and purpose. That's your plan for us. Lord, help us to embrace it, to seize it. Give us the strength and the power, the wisdom to see, the eyes to hear, and the legs to follow. All in the name of Jesus. Amen.